Come on, let's bless the name of the Lord in this place. Yeah. Hallelujah. As the song said, Lord, I love you. I love you more than anything. You know, when you do that, the scriptures are being fulfilled, because in Genesis, the Bible tells us that thou shalt have no other gods before me. That God is a jealous God. Amen. In Exodus. Lord, I love you more than anything. To God be the glory for all of the wonderful things that he has done to this praise team. Amen. Let's give them another hand. Hallelujah. Continue to worship. Continue to magnify the Lord. And we certainly thank God for each and every one of you. Let us bow. Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we say thank you again for another opportunity to stand and proclaim your word.
Well.
God, I acknowledge that I am nothing, but your word teaches me that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So God, I stand on your promises now. Hide me behind your cross. Dip me down in your well of wisdom. God, with you on my side, I can accomplish any great task. So God, I thank you in advance. We ask now, oh God, that you would open the ears of these your children. Allow us to go into your word, learn something that we can apply to our everyday lifestyle to be better soldiers for you and you alone. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in this place. This is what we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's children said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the first book of the Bible in Genesis. Genesis 3, a very familiar passage of scripture. I'll be reading Genesis 3. I'll begin at verse 9, I'll read through 13, then I'll skip over and do 17 and 19. Genesis 3, you know one thing about this scripture, it's easy to find. If you have trouble finding this one, we need to sit down after service. Amen, Genesis 3, beginning at verse 9. Amen. Reading out of the King James Version this morning for your hearing pleasure. And it reads like this: And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Verse 10 says, He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Had thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Verse 12 says, And the man said, The woman. And the man said, The woman. Who thou givest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree.
Oh, Jesus.
And I did eat. Verse 13 says, And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And I want to skip over and I want to pick up on verse 17. And it says, And unto Adam he said, Because thou have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18 says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. From out of it wilt thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Amen. I want to stop right there. You may be seated. And I want to use for a theme or a subject today. I want to talk about broken but not destroyed.
Well. Fix it up, Pastor.
Being broken but not destroyed. You know, when I think about life, you know, life will deal you some situations. And it depends upon how you take those situations on, depends upon the outcome of your situation. You know, sometimes life will deal you a bad hand. You know, I'll be the first to admit that all of us in here, we wasn't born so holy. You know, many of us used to love playing cards. Many of us still play cards. And there's nothing wrong with cards, but I want you to understand this illustration. In playing cards, sometimes, oftentimes you can't control the hand that you get. But in order for you to be a part of the game, you got to play your cards. Even though sometimes your cards you play don't have any significant value, all you're doing is just going along, just trying to get through this hand. And you go along and you're hoping the next time the cards are dealt, you'll get a good hand. I don't know about you, but I used to play spades, and I even went beyond that. I played whist. I played bid whist. So I understand the game. And, in bid whist, you make your own hand.
That's right.
You had a six card kitty, and you were able to draw and take away and add two.
That's right.
To build your hand up, and many times you can get dealt a real good hand, and whenever you playing bid, whenever you bid a pound. Let me break it on down. Somebody don't know what I'm talking about. Whenever you bid 10, you're saying something. That means you're going to put somebody in the hole, because you had to get at least four books in order to get out of the hole. So in other words, you live for the next hand. And in life, that's what we've got to learn to do. Sometimes in life, things may not go the way you have planned for them to go. But you got to live for the next hand. You got to know that whenever you read the Bible and it says in 150th Psalm that everything that has breath, we need to praise God. And then when you go on back in the 27th Psalm, I think it's over in the 27th Psalm, somewhere in that Psalm, he talks about from the rising of the sun that we should give God praise every day. Because he said, this is the day that God has made. Psalm 122, he says, this is the day that God has made that we need to rejoice. In other words, it may not go the way you planned for it to go that day, but when you live for another day, knowing that tomorrow has got to be better, because it's not going to be any worse, because you're in a bad situation right now, you got to learn to call upon God. And say, Father, I need you. I've got a bad hand. I've got a bad hand, and I don't know what to do with it. But you got to continue to go alone. In other words, what God will do, God will take it and turn it around. God can turn your situation around when you learn to trust him.
Yes, sir. Yes, he will.
being broken, but not destroyed. Oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in relationships. Some work out good, and some not so good. Thank you. And you gotta understand that just because I got connected to somebody that mistreated me, I shouldn't categorize everybody in that same
That's right.
But we have a tendency of categorizing everybody the same way. You know how it is when y'all know how it is with the church, with church folks. Whenever someone fall in the church, they don't say Tim done messed up.
That church, divine.
They categorize everybody in the same category.
Amen.
Which is very unfair.
Yes.
Even though in life you may get broken sometimes.
Yes.
But you gotta understand, you're not destroyed.
Because
it's not over. It's not over. Even though in the midst of a break, it hurts. It hurts. And I don't know how many of you have ever broken any limbs, but as an athlete, you have a tendency to break all kind of limbs. And whenever you go to the right person, they know how to put you back together.
Come on.
And they can take that broken bone, even though you go through some pain for a moment. It's only for a moment. That's why I love it. I love it when grandma used to say all the time that weeping may endure for a night, but it's going to be some. In other words, you're going to go through some pain. But whenever you hold on, you're being mended back together. You're being broken, but you're not destroyed. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up because you had a bad day. You had a bad moment. Don't give up because somebody tried to belittle you and tell you you were nothing. Don't give up because somebody may have gotten hooked on drugs or hooked on this. Don't you understand that we serve a God that is a forgiving God, that He'll look beyond your fault and He'll provide your need? Don't give up. You're broken, but you're not destroyed. I thank God that whenever I'm broken, He don't give up on me. Even though that time when I messed up on my own, but God forgive me. God will forgive you. And I love His words. And whenever you flip over to Psalm 103 and you get around verse 17, He talks about how God takes your transgressions and He removes your transgressions. In other words, He says, God takes your sins and He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. And when you continue to read it, He said that He will never bring it up to your memories again. Broken but not destroyed. That's good stuff. That lets us know that when God forgives us, He don't bring it up in our past. You gotta understand, it's the enemy that keep bringing it up to you. I remember when you used to do this. Listen, we all used to do something. But we gotta know that I'm a child of God. I know that God looked beyond my fault. He provided me with a need. He died on the cross just for me, that I may have the right to the tree of life. That's the thing. We got to learn to speak to ourselves. We got to stop having pity parties and allowing the devil to have victorious over me. Don't you understand that the scripture has told us in Revelation, He said the battle has already been fought and the victory is won. We have victory in Christ Jesus. When I looked at the text today, we see, yes, this is the beginning. Here in Genesis, during the creation, we know that God has created man in His image, and He has allowed woman to be created as well. And he fashioned woman to be Adam's soulmate. Uh-huh. And we find here that God had given Adam a command that you are not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. That was two. And when you continue to read the text, he said you're not to eat of it or even to touch it. But we find here that we pick it up here that whenever Satan comes along and he says, and he began to talk.
Yes.
How many of you know that sometimes when great sin is produced, it's because of a conversation?
Amen.
He begins to have a conversation with Eve. You know, and for a long time before I can continue to study the word, I used to think that I used to blame all of the fault on Eve.
Yes,
come on now, come on.
Hallelujah.
But when you begin to slow yourself down,
come on, Jesus,
and read the text for keeping it in the context,
yes, sir.
You find that she wasn't the one at fault.
No.
I know I raised some eyebrows.
No.
And somebody may say, well, why do you say that? The Bible says that she was the one took of the fruit and ate.
Uh-huh.
And she was the one in the conversation
with
Satan, the serpent. And he said that Satan said, has God not said, when you eat of this, he knows that if you eat of it, you'll be wise.
All right.
You'll have knowledge.
Knowledge.
You'll be just like him.
Mm.
And that's why it says, and she was beguiled. And in other words, she was bewitched. She was tricked. The slick tongue. And a lot of times that's the reason we end up in a lot of relationships because sister was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, brother had it going on. Brother had that. He had that linebacker backside. He had the six packs. And a lot of times we get hooked up because of the outside. We're not concerned about what's going on in the inside. We're listening in the conversation. You got to understand that's when conversations, a lot of times, that's when sin starts to grow.
Creeping.
When Eve in the conversation with Satan.
Talk to us, Lord.
Speak it up, Reverend.
You know, because they were structured. They had it made. He said, you can eat of everything in the garden, but that one in the middle, leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't even look upon it. But in the midst of the conversation, somebody turned it around and said, God knows that's not true. He just knows you're going to be just like him. And when she took of the fruit, the Bible says that's when she took of the fruit, she ate of it and it was good. And it was good. And you gotta understand now, when she took of it and she ate of it, she said it was good, and she did what? She gave some to who? Her husband.
Her husband.
Her husband wasn't on the other side of time.
All right.
Read the text. He says she ate of it, and it was good.
Yes.
And she gave to her husband, who was there also.
All right, now. It's
in the book.
Break it down.
It's in the word.
Break it down.
And now what I find amazing is,
come on,
is that when God comes into the picture, he knows that he had structured them to have everything that they needed to produce the earth, to replenish the earth, and to live a glorious life.
Yes, sir.
When God comes into the picture and he says, Adam, who told you that you were naked? Why did you hide from me? That's an indication that they were having conversations prior to. Because Adam said, I heard your voice.
Yeah.
But I hid.
That's uh-huh. it.
Because I was naked. Uh-huh. He said, who told you this?
Come on.
He said, have you eaten
uh-huh.
of the tree I forbidden you
yes.
not to eat of?
Adam.
That's what he told
yes.
He didn't say nothing about Eve. He didn't say nothing about the serpent. He said, have you ate of the tree I commanded you? Because I gave the command to you. In other words, he said, you have just broken your own relationship. You have just broken yourself. It's nothing that I'm doing. You did this because have you ate of the tree I commanded you? But what I find amazing is that as God tells him, have you eaten of the tree I commanded you? He told God, well,
what
did he say?
God, it's your fault. I'm paraphrasing y'all. Read the text. He said, I ate, it was because of the woman you gave me. I said, good God Almighty. Ain't that right, man? We always want to point the finger at somebody. I'm drinking because you drove me to drink it. No, you drinking because you like to drink.
I don't use that.
Because you getting on my nerves. No, you doing it because you want to do it. I'm cheating on you because we ain't been effective at home. No, no, you cheat because you want to cheat. And because you're a cheat.
You have to show that.
We have a tendency of want to blame somebody
else
for our mistakes.
Yes,
the Bible says when Adam said it's the woman you have given me.
Uh-huh.
And notice what it said when he got down Jesus. To the woman. He said, woman.
Woman.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you know what you have done?
Yeah,
Jesus.
And she said, it's because of the serpent. He tripped me, God. He was sounding so good, you know he got a slick tone.
Hallelujah.
I'm paraphrasing because it's He said, she said, it was because he beguiled me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And you can only imagine in her conversation, she had to tell him, she said, it's because he said, the serpent said, that you know that if we eat of it, we're gonna have knowledge.
Yeah.
We're gonna know good and evil.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But she tried to blame it on the serpent.
Come on, Lord.
Adam tried to blame the wife.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the wife tried to blame the serpent. But notice.
Come on, Jesus.
God does not care about your excuse.
What
did he do?
No.
He cursed the whole world.
The whole world.
He said, Satan, serpent, because of you, cursed to your belly.
That's right.
You will remain.
Yes, sir.
Woman, because you have done this, in childbirth, you have pain and suffering all the days. And man, don't think I ain't forgot about you just because I made you first. You ain't getting away. He said, because of these grounds, it's going to produce thorns and thistles. And says, you got to eat out of the midst of all of this. And by the way, you got to till that ground. And you're going to sweat to the day you die. Because you came out of the dust and you're going to return to the dust. But until you do, you got to work all the days of your life. Broken, but not destroyed. And when I continue to read the text, I seen where God was having a conversation. He wasn't having it with man. He wasn't having it with woman. He wasn't having it with the serpent.
Yeah.
God said, man have eaten of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. So now it's going to enlighten his mind. He's going to be wise. And now he will go to the other tree. And if he eat of the tree of life, man will live forever. And God sealed it up. He says he put a cherubim, guarded the garden, and he sealed it up, and he forced man out that they could never enter into it again. So in other words, what am I saying? I'm saying that God is not concerned about our excuses. God does not care if we got a good story behind it.
Yes, sir.
What God is more concerned about is what we do with the resources, with the things that he gives us. When God tells us to do this, we need to do it.
Yes.
Not because man have persuaded us. Yes. And when I think about some of the people in the Bible that have been broken,
Jesus,
but they're not destroyed.
Come on, Jesus.
I have to think about Joseph.
Yes.
Y'all know the story of Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph was disliked from his own brothers.
Yes, sir.
And he was sold. He was sold into to slavery. And,
yes,
and by him being in the slavery, he ends up working for Potiphar. Then he get betrayed again. And he ends up in prison. And then while he's in prison, he's doing this blessing and that blessing. But still, even in the midst of him remaining faithful in prison, he meets the cupbearer and the baker, and one gets out, and he said, "Well, remember me when you get out and tell the king, you know, what I've done for you, and look what happened." That's why I love the word of God. He said, and Proverbs, he tells us, don't put your trust in man, because man will let you down. See, Joseph trusted in him, and he says, whenever he got his job back, he ain't saying nothing about Joseph.
Glory.
But we find that even though Joseph was broken, he wasn't destroyed.
Come on.
Because we find that whenever there was a famine in the land, that Joseph was put in second in command.
Yeah,
and Joseph was handling his business.
Glory.
Even the one that had betrayed him, even his own family had to come back to him. And they didn't recognize him, but he recognized him. And Joseph had all the right to destroy them.
Yeah, Lord.
But he didn't. He still loved them.
Amen.
And that's how God restored him.
Yes.
He was broken, but he wasn't destroyed. In other words, we've got to learn to keep our hand in God's hand.
Yeah,
we've got to learn to trust God. You know, a lot of times, we like, you can see my illustration here. We like this puzzle, you know. When you got a puzzle and you put it together, it looks good because you can see what it is and it's all perfect and good.
Yes, sir.
But when you go through life, sometimes you go through life and it has a tendency of falling.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all messed up.
All messed up.
Jesus. Well, Pastor. Now, in order for you to put this back together, you got to know something about the puzzle.
Yeah.
In life, God knows that many times we will be knocked down.
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah.
Many times we will be broken. Many times we look like we got it together.
Yes.
All right.
But you got to understand, God knows the puzzle. He knows the puzzle. He knows that oftentimes it may take a little time to put you back together.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the old fairy tale, Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah.
Y'all know the story.
Yeah.
How he sat on the wall, how he fell, and they basically gave up on him. But they said the king horses and the king men, how they were able to put him back together.
Yeah, back together.
This is my king man.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
It takes some time.
Uh-huh.
to put the puzzle back together. But while God is working on putting us back together, even though we have been broken, you got to remember, you're not destroyed. And I had to call upon Elijah. Elijah had it going on, and Elijah seemed like at one point he could command. He said he commanded for the rain to stop, and it didn't rain. And it seemed like he was broken, because it seemed like whenever it stopped raining for 3 years, Elijah, the creek that he was living by, it dried up, and Elijah started complaining. But God restored him. He was broken, but he wasn't destroyed. And when I think about, I have to call on the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and also Daniel. You find that whenever you read in that book, you find that in Daniel, the first chapter, the third chapter in Daniel, you find that they had took these three boys, and what they did, Nebuchadnezzar did, he wanted to change their mindset, because they were Hebrew. And he wanted to change them into Babylonian. He wanted them to think just like a Babylonian. And so therefore, he fed them Babylonian food. He taught them Babylonian culture. But anyway, in other words, they told him, they said, listen, we don't want to defile ourselves with this kind of meat. If you would allow us to just eat our herbs and vegetables and things, it says, when it's come time to be tested, we'll be just as smart as the Babylonian. And we see that that in the midst of this, by them remaining faithful unto their true and living God, we see that whenever they were put to the test, they were smarter than the Babylonian. They were stronger than the Babylonian. And we see that even Daniel did not accept his new name. Daniel did not accept it. See, there's some things you don't have to accept from man. When man try to come up against you, you got to come. You come up against me in the name of man. But I come up against you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, that's not who I am, and that's not who I'm going to be. So when somebody calls you out of your name, don't you respond, because that's not who you are. They're just trying to break you. But I want you to know, they can't break you. Even though if they knock you down, you got to understand that God can reach way down and pick you up, and he can restore you in his time. But I can't stop right there. I have to call upon Ruth. When you think about Ruth, see, Ruth had it made. She had a husband, and she was prepared to build her family. But her husband died. And she had to move from her own country to go to a strange country. But we see by her remaining faithful to her mother-in-law. And by her remaining faithful, she told her mother-in-law, I'm going to go with you. Because the mother-in-law told her to go back to your hometown, where you can find you another man that can provide for you. She said, no, where you go, where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. The God you serve, the God I will serve. So by her being faithful unto that, we see that she was in the midst. She was out there gleaming. She was picking up in the fields. She was getting that what had fell off the husk and fell to the ground. But we see that God has prepared somebody to pay attention. Boaz. He told his car people, he said, don't pick it all. Leave some for that woman. And by her doing that, she became redeemed by Boaz. And I want you to know that God has a way of restoring you. It may take some time. It may not happen overnight. But you got to keep your hand in God's hand. Because God knows what he's doing. God knows what the ultimate picture needs to look like. He knows what you are before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. Because he tells us in his word that he knows the hairs on our head. He knows the day we were going to be born. He knows the day that we're going to die. What we got to do is we got to learn to trust him. We got to learn to wait on him. But I don't want to stop with Ruth. I got to call upon Joseph and Mary. Y'all know the story about Joseph and Mary. How Mary was promised
to be married to Joseph. And by her being promised to be married to Joseph, they were engaged. And in that time, you didn't have to do this and that. When you was betrothed to someone, it was just like you were married. Yeah. But we see that Mary is being conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Come on, come on.
And it seems like that would have broken Joseph. But you gotta understand that with something abnormal happen in your life, God always has a ram in the bush. Because what did he do? He sent an angel to speak to Joseph. And he told him, listen, don't put her away, but take her to your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I know it had broken your spirit because Joseph could have taken her and had her stoned to death. But he paid attention unto God. And by him doing that, we see that they had a child, and his name was Jesus. By them being loyal to God, they had the child, and his name was Jesus. And it seemed like Jesus, from time to time, would get broken when people would talk about him. They would try to knock him down. They would criticize his name. But God restored him each time again. As Pastor Graham has come and she had restored this picture. Even though you may get broken and you feel like you're into pieces and you're ready to give up, you got to understand that the most ultimate God, he knows what you're going to be. He knows what you can be. You got to keep your hand in his hand and allow him to connect you to the right people. That's why it's so important to be connected to a good church. Because when you got a good church, your church is going to sponsor you. Your church is going to support you. Your church is going to pray for you. Your church is going to help you through the bad times, the trials and the tribulation. And by you being in a good church, it will help restore you into what you can be. That's when you can say in the Bible that all things work together for the good of them. Good God Almighty, you may be broken into pieces. Your house may be falling apart. The doctor may have given you some bad news. But whenever you trust in God with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge who he is. He's got a way of working it out. He'll work it out for your good. Why? Because he died for you. But he rose on that third day with all power in his hand. And just because he rose, he sits at the right hand of the Father. And now he sends you the Holy Spirit. And you can go directly to him when you've been broken. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. And he will restore you back together again. You may be broken, but you're not destroyed. You may be pressed down, but you're not forsaken. God knows all about it. He knows your struggles. He knows your pain. Continue to trust him. Even though it may not be going the way you want it to go, give God glory. Give him praise. Because it's going to work out for God's glory. Trust God. Just remember, just because you're broken, that doesn't mean you're destroyed. When you break a bone, they put it back together. And over time, it will heal. What am I saying? I'm saying your scars will heal over time. But you got to stay connected. You got to stay connected to a Bible teaching church. You got to have Bible believing friends in your life. You need to get so-and-so them out of your ears and they feeding you negative news. You need to get them out. Flee from that. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. And know all of your help. God bless you. May we rest on our feet. We're going to open the doors of the church. There may be someone that has been watching that may be here today. You realize, you know, preacher was talking about me. I'm broken right now.
I want you to know that you're not destroyed.
No, no.
All you got to do is trust God. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has died and he has rose from the grave on that third day, that he has all power in his hands. Romans 10 and 13 says,
Whosoever
call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know you can be saved on today. You may be broken, but you're not destroyed. If this is you and you're in the sanctuary, you may come. We've got a minister team here that will lead you to the cross. If you're outside, amen. If you're listening by radio, amen, just cut your flashes on. We'll make sure one of our ministers come to you. We will respect your social distancing. But we want to make sure we lead you to the cross. If you're watching by social media, just send us a message. And we'll get it to our minister team. And we will get back in touch with you.
Yes.
And show you the right way. That God came that you can have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes, Lord.
But you got to trust him.
Yes.
You may be broken, but thanks to God, you're not destroyed.
No, Lord.
That's good news in Christ Jesus.
Good news.
He is our hope. Yes. If this is you today, why don't you come?